Welcome to Devotionary and our study of the book of Hebrews, called Better by Far. Today in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19, we'll be taking a look at the ever-present danger of disbelief. The author of Hebrews is not addressing a lack of belief in Jesus as Savior, but a temptation on the part of Christians to doubt God and turn from trusting in Him. Belief is not just necessary for salvation, but is an instrumental and non-negotiable part of our life journey. According to the author of Hebrews, even a believer can suffer from an unbelieving heart. I can't encourage you enough to take the time to read through this passage. You'll find it both convicting and encouraging. But now, let's take a look at the danger of disbelief. Reaching back into the pages of the Old Testament narrative, the author quotes from Psalm 95, using the history of the people of Israel as a life lesson for his Hebrew audience. The psalmist recounts the story of Israel's rebellion against God during their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. Under the direction of God, they had reached a place called Rephidim, and after setting up camp, they discovered there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Exodus 17, verses 1 through 2. Moses' response was to ask them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" Exodus 17, verse 2. But driven by their physical thirst, they demanded, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Exodus 17, verse 3. The people were so angry with Moses that he feared for his life, suspecting that they would stone him. But God told Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so, in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Exodus 17, verses 5 through 7. That last line is key to understanding the story and to grasping the point that the author of Hebrews is trying to make. Influenced by the negative nature of their circumstances and their own physical desires, they doubted the presence, power, and provision of God. This was in spite of all He had done to deliver them from Egypt and to secure their freedom from slavery. The miracles of the 10 plagues and the wonder of the Red Sea crossing faded into oblivion at the first sign of trouble. Suddenly, their God was no match for their personal problems, and they grumbled. They complained. They revealed their ingratitude for all that God had done. And yet, in the face of their rebellion, God graciously provided them with water from a rock. The Apostle Paul provides us with insight into what was going on behind the scenes. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5, we read, "I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." The rock was Christ. It was a representation of the mercy and grace of God that would one day be expressed through the gift of His Son. Moses was instructed to strike the rock. The rock was beaten, and from it came living water. God provided for them the very thing for which they had grumbled and complained. But while they drank the same spiritual water, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They never made it to the land of promise, the place of rest. The psalmist clearly portrays the anger of God with those who had doubted His saving power. We read in Psalm 95, verses 10 through 11, "For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, 'They are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways.' Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The letter to the Hebrews provides us with the application. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, we read, "Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened by God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ." The author is not suggesting that we can lose our salvation, but he warns against having evil and unbelieving hearts. The danger the Jewish believers and his audience faced was turning away from the saving grace provided by God through Jesus Christ and returning to their old familiar faith in Judaism. Warren Wiersbe writes, "Every believer is tempted to give up his confession of Christ and go back into the world's system's life of compromise and bondage." Again, this is not about losing our salvation, but missing out on all that God has promised us as believers in this life. By turning away from God and doubting the sufficiency of His Son's saving work. F.F. Bruce provides us with the context. A relapse from Christianity into Judaism would be comparable to the action of the Israelites when they turned back in their hearts unto Egypt. It would not be a mere return to a position previously occupied, but a gesture of outright apostasy, a complete break with God. There will always be the temptation to doubt God and return to whatever way of life we lived before. We may even be tempted to try something completely new and different other than the walk of faith. That's why the writer of Hebrews warns us, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." Hebrews 3, verse 12. The issue is one of unbelief. That's why we are to exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. We need to encourage one another to keep the faith, to remain committed to the cause of Christ. We must not allow circumstances or our own personal passions to drive us away from God and back to the false promises of this world. We must continue to believe in and rest on the promises of God in spite of all we see happening around us. As the writer of Hebrews puts it a little later on in this letter, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Hebrews 11, verse 6.